This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
They're still on Florida and that building that collapsed in Surfside with a view of the beach that was stellar, but not a good day last week when part of the building collapsed. So many questions abound, and 11 people now officially have died as a result of being caught in the building that collapsed. However, 150 are still unaccounted for. The mayor of Miami insists that now it's still a rescue mission, and you have more than 400 search crews on the pile searching for signs of life carefully as they maneuver around this tower, because you just have the whole front on one side torn off, and then you've got the rest that's still there, and there are shocking tales still coming out as to people who narrowly escaped with their life, while the Pacific Northwest is just frankly on fire. People are complaining it's intense, the heat wave, and they're trying to find relief. I can tell this to the people in Seattle, hydrate. Anybody in this, hydrate. Walk around and constantly drink water, for what it's worth. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, once again, thanks so much for joining us as we navigate these tricky times, and they are tricky. We have the Delta variant that has cropped up, and there are concerns in the U.S. In Australia, it's a serious lockdown because of a handful of people that have tested for that Delta variant. They're not taking any chances, and they're saying very few people have had vaccines, and that's part of why the Prime Minister felt it was necessary to do that. We're going to talk about that in a second. But first, closer to home, the collapse in Miami. There's a terrible story about one of the missing women, Florida women, who was on the phone with her husband who wasn't there as the building was crumbling down. And as I said, there's all those stories of survivors and people who were looking for friends and, you know, what all of a sudden happened. And the thought is that maybe there are air pockets. Maybe there are people that are still caught that they could find, but so far that has not happened. Then there is the conversations about the building and why it collapsed. And you have some of the residents who are survivors who got out of the building or who didn't have their condo collapse of all the units that collapsed. There were 55. So they're saying that they were told their building was safe, despite a report that came out in 2018 pretty strongly wording and suggesting that it's not safe, that there were things that needed to be done. And was it even nearby construction that could compromise the stability of the high rise? That's something else that's being talked about. So the unaccounted 150, I'll say it again. There was a meeting where they said this is a 40-year-old building where the Surfside town people who met, and they meet monthly, said that the building was not in bad shape despite what a report had said. The structural engineer had been around for a while. They took out $15 million to fix the building. No one ever said, though, the building was in bad shape, is what the chorus of people are echoing. A 40-year recertification process. That was one of the other things that was talked about. But you have an engineer 30 days ago saying, more than 30 days, ago, saying there was evidence of major structural damage below the building's pool deck. And the list goes on and on and on of people who said, probably about a dozen, that this is something that needed to be addressed. At this point, it doesn't do any good for the people who are caught in this melee, this chaos, this emotionally challenging, stressful, anxiety-fueled week, because you've got the race against the clock in case you can find signs of life and they can actually rescue people, which would be a complete miracle. And it does make you wonder, right, about if you're in a tall building or if you're in a concrete structure, how safe it is. And when was the last time the condo or the apartment or the high rise you were in was inspected? It's something to think about. And it does make us think about that infrastructure bill that they can't seem to pass in Washington, because they're not going to agree on, and the Republicans are not going to agree, on sticking a lot of other things in the bill that's going to make it more expensive and isn't related just specifically to infrastructure. The bridges, the highways, all of that. And I don't know, does it get passed? It certainly looked like it was last week. And despite the fact that you have 5 Republicans, 5 Democrats, and the administration trying to work this out, it is not being worked out at this point. And I think looking at Miami and looking at some other things that have happened make you think, boy, this is now the time to do this, now and not too late. It's not the time to wait on this. All right, speaking of waiting, the Delta variant, we keep hearing about that, right? So now at this point, these are a lot of the cases that are coming through, like in Alabama, where you're starting to see that Delta variant of the coronavirus, a more contagious variant first detected in India, is starting to gain a little bit of a foothold. So there is a big concern about that because it's more transmissible and could lead to more hospitalizations. And if it is this is what the CDC is saying, if it's a low vaccinated covered area, there could be more deaths among the population, even if they're younger people, because all bets are off when you talk about Delta spreading. It scared the Prime Minister enough in Australia that they have a serious lockdown happening. I talked to a guy in Perth earlier today, and he was saying, yeah, I mean, it's 1 hour to get some air, and you're back in the house, and they are watching, and that's it. And it is a serious lockdown. He in fact, made a remark that he had a family, and they were going to go actually see a musical. They had convinced the boys, and of course, the girls were going, and they were going to go to this musical. They were going as a family, and poof, that was off the table, because 10 million Australians are under lockdown in what they say is the fight against the Delta variant. All right, hang with us. Coming up, a conversation with Edward Green, an interesting chap.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
London, or outside of London, to speak with Edward Greene. He's written a book called Meredith's Journey Begins, Part 1. Meredith is an interesting character, and you're going to fall in love with Meredith, I think, and some of you are going to recognize maybe parts of yourself in her. So without further ado, let's go to Edward. Edward, thanks for joining us. He's in our virtual green room. How are you?
I'm fine. Lovely to speak to you.
The road to writing Meredith's Journey, it's interesting, you and I talked off the air, and you worked in IT, you wrote a column at one point, you wrote poetry, so you were dabbling in writing, but to actually take this on, congratulations on that, and write a book, because people talk about writing a book and they never do it, but you did. What was that like?
It was interesting. I started off writing a couple of short stories which centered on the main characters of Meredith's Journey Begins, Meredith and William. And then I got to like them. So I wanted to actually write their story.
Tell us about Meredith. What's Meredith like?
Meredith's either been the male or female equivalent of Meredith. I think we've all felt some of the things that she feels at the start of the journey. She's a graduate working for a market research firm. She's kind of settled into life, but not really got her life going. So she's got a nice little house. She's got two cats. But she's sort of settled into a rut, drifted out of shape, and not really kicked her life on, as I think we all hope to when we leave university or college.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, right? You know, you have these ideas of what should happen or what the road looks like, and then you end up maybe on a different path. And what you can do with the character is fascinating. Was it fun for you once you got into the meat of writing this to go with the flow?
I enjoyed it a tremendous amount. Some of it was very hard work. I found very hard work as a first book. sewing together the narrative, writing out, having started off with just two very singular, isolated character, individual characters, then building them into a world was hard work, but tremendously rewarding. And yeah, that, there are parts of it where I just sat and wrote, and it just flowed out then. And then I scrunched them up, threw them away, and wrote something properly.
It's interesting because Meredith Webb, for people listening to us, in Edward's book, which you can get on Amazon, Meredith's Journey Begins, is also, as she's what's happening in her life, she also has two cats. How important are the cats to her?
I think anyone who's ever owned a pet will understand just how important the animals in our lives can be. She's single. She lives alone. So they're, in a way, her companions. They're, in a way, I think a lot of people, for a lot of people, their pet is almost a surrogate child or a best friend, a confidant. I think animals can provide tremendous comfort and tremendous company.
Absolutely, because, you know, we just assume that they are definitely our allies. Whatever we're working out and the conversations we have with them, we know that they're in our corner, Edward, right? I know I have a dog, Guinness, and he always seems to approve of everything I do.
Excellent. It's a good dog. It's a great name for a dog, too.
Exactly. So what do you hope people take away from Meredith's Journey Begins? And this is just the part one, because you have other books coming up.
Yeah. Well, part one is, I think it's a hopeful story. I think it's a very passionate story. I think the aim is to write something that people can relate to and that people can find a little bit of where they want to go to next in their lives.
Yeah, and that's absolutely the sense that I got. You now have other books you're doing, so tell us, we'll give everybody kind of a sneak peek. You have another book, book two, coming out right around Christmas or before Christmas, and tell us about what happens then as we continue on the road with Meredith.
Well, book two, the title gives a little bit of a hint. It's Meredith's Rocky Road. It's her coming to terms with the development in her life, and also other people coming to terms with it. And again, it's about growing, facing up to the challenges of having a close relationship and a career at the same time, and dealing with the decisions she makes in that and in aspects of the relationship.
Yeah, and then did you ever think when you sat down, because then you're going to have another book that'll come out next year, so you'll have a bona fide trilogy. Did you ever think that you would write a trilogy?
I had all sorts of fanciful ideas when I left college, but some of them have happened, some of them haven't, and I've got a number of other projects on the go as well. But I think this is a very personal story to me. I think I hope it will speak to a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think it will. So pick up Meredith's Journey Begins on Amazon, Edward Green. And let's tell everybody where they can find you. They can go to Facebook to find out more about you. And what's the name of your Facebook group?
My Facebook group is Edward Green Author, and they can find links to segments of some of my short stories on that.
Excellent. So you can find Edward there as well. Edward, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
All right, we move from Edward and his writing to Mother Nature and Danny. Here's some good news. I just got this updated. It weakened to a tropical depression after hitting landfall north of Georgia and that South Carolina border, and it should dissipate late on Tuesday. So heavy rain, you'll get that, but then it will again disappear after it. So there were those warnings that were issued for part of that South Carolina coast. And, you know, this is that time of year where, hurricanes. So rough surf, stronger than normal rip currents, that kind of stuff Monday afternoon. But inches of rain piling up and some flooding. You know, Charleston can get really hammered downtown. But the good news is winds were about 35 30 miles an hour, 30 to 35 miles an hour, not what it looked like it could be. So, yes, the storm, all of that, but not the possible hurricane. I mean, this is expected to be a heavy season for hurricanes. The forecast is 6 to 10 that could form. And we know this is early in the season because guess what? It runs all the way through till November 30th. And you start to see those disturbances and you start to track them and watch and see where that all ends up. All right, speaking of watching, you know, I talk about the polls a lot on this show. And you've got the former president who's out touring some cities, and he's out with Bill O'Reilly, the former Fox News guy who is a popular author. And there's this McLaughlin poll that came out that showed that Trump remains pretty strong as far as Republican support, because the thought was, well, what's it going to look like when you're, like any president, out of office no matter what happened? And over the past few months, more and more voters thought maybe that the U.S. was headed in the right direction. But this month, the track went the other way, where it went 48 to 47. So it's that typical polarization that we see with politics. Trump 2020 voters say that the U.S. is on the wrong track, 84% to 13%. And you look at Republicans and conservatives saying that we're on the wrong track, 78% to 20% and 79% to 19%. And obviously the other numbers are flipped almost identical in the other direction. So why do we care about polls? Why do we look at some of these polls? Because the people are the people trying to get elected. They just sit with bated breath until different polls come out to try to figure, how do I read the tea leaves on this? And it's interesting reading the tea leaves in this with Republican support. 72% of all Republicans want to see Donald Trump run for president again in 2024. And he, of course, has hinted at doing just that at various stops along the way. But we'll see. Before you know it, in a blink of an eye, we'll be back in that territory of what's happening with the Democrats and the Republicans as far as elections and midterm elections, of course, will be very, very, very big. Stay with us. We're going to talk about language next and the importance of it with Robert Babcock.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has introduced a bill to establish a select committee to investigate the January 6th riots. The measure would establish a 13-person committee with five members being appointed by Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. The Speaker is also considering including a Republican member among her eight appointees to the committee. The framework could come to the floor for a vote as soon as Wednesday. U.S. troops in Syria came under fire again on Monday as a number of rocket attacks were launched at an oil field in eastern Syria controlled by U.S.-backed forces. A military spokesman said no U.S. personnel were injured and that any damage was still being evaluated. The attacks haven't been attributed to any group yet. It comes a day after the U.S. launched airstrikes at facilities of an Iranian-backed militia in response to a number of drone attacks on U.S. facilities in the area. And a 3.9 magnitude earthquake has struck near San Francisco. There were no immediate reports of any damage or injuries. This is USA Radio News. Officials raised the death toll in the partial collapse of that condominium building in Surfside, Florida on Monday after two bodies were pulled from the rubble. The official count now stands at 11 confirmed dead, but 151 people remain unaccounted for 5 days after the collapse. Pablo Rodriguez's mother and grandmother are among the missing. He tells Fox News that he's grateful for the work rescue crews are doing, but he's concluded that he won't see them alive again.
I mean, I really do want to thank the first responders. I mean, the conditions that they're working under are unimaginable. You really don't have an appreciation for the size of the debris field. It's an entire building that collapsed. The weather is not great down here. It's very hot, very humid. It keeps raining, and they're continuing to work, so I do want to thank them. But it's, you know, as for hope that we're going to be able to see them, that for me doesn't exist. I just hope that they're able to at least recover them so that we can give them a proper burial.
This is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
My whole life has centered around this, and thank goodness that I knew someone like Robert, and we need to have more Roberts, but he's written a book called Mastering the Lost Art of Oratory. So the Lost Art of Oratory. Think about that. Robert Babcock is in our virtual green room right now. Robert, you're a lifelong educator, and what have you found and what led you to write this book?
Well, what I found, and it took over a long period of time. I've taught in many, many different places. I've taught in public school, private school, home school recently. I taught in jails, and I've taught in New York State prison system, and a couple of other ones, too. You know, a teenage detention center. The point being is that all of those that I've seen, that I've been with, have an interest in being able to speak and speak well. And I said, gee, maybe we're missing something in the public school system, because I was essentially brought up in that area. And got to think about it. I said, gee, why aren't schools doing this? Why are public schools doing it? And I got there's a couple of reasons for it, and I'll get to that quickly. And probably the big one is, if teachers are not going to teach this, and I'm talking about public speaking, oratory, they're not going to be teaching it because they don't test it. And what we're finding now is that if teachers are not going to test it, they're not going to teach it. And probably the big reason behind that is what's happening in our education system is being driven by a lot of money. You know, federal money, which is being pushed by private corporations. And the assumption there is that, look, we can, if we can do that like in a major, our major corporation that I'm working in, this would be a CEO talking. If we can do it in a large corporation, why can't we do it in the education system too? Well, what that does with teachers is it takes away their ability to use their little antennas to find out what kind of children they have here. And then to understand the simple principle that students learn at different ways. And sometimes it takes a while to get to that child, to get that brain working. Point being is that it's not being done much anymore. And what they're missing is something that's been lost years ago, probably within the last 100 years, and that is the ability of students to be able to think and be able to respond to it. And I think that's what the large educators being superintendents and so on, up at the state and federal level, what they want to do is to do the same thing, but they're off the track. You know, they're not looking at the simple rules of that. Now, having said all that, and I know you're in an article you wrote, very good article, on the lost art of listening, and this part of the communication skills too. So we're both in a sense on the same track, you know, understanding there's something wrong here.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you. I think it makes all the difference in the world. And what you're teaching, that self-confidence that someone would have,
absolutely.
What you need to do when you even looking for jobs, but having to speak when you're at a job, what you do as you move into management. I mean, there's so much to this. All right, so we don't want to give away the whole thing, but mastering the art of oratory, give us a couple of little gems from the book that really anyone can learn, by the way. You don't have to be young. You could be older. You could be at any age. I mean, your target
absolutely.
Audience is large.
It's absolutely right. You know, and I've taught students as young as 3, and then I've worked with adults as old as in the mid-80s. And you're right. You know, they want that. Now, an interesting thing that I found, he's talking about why did I write the book, and that is because when I talk to parents, whether they're parents of students I teach or other parents where they don't have this program would say, that's what my child needs. That's what I'd like to have my child have, that ability to speak, because they're not going to be a leader without it. The parents want their children to be leaders and be able to express themselves, but it's not really happening. So, I think that's probably, your point about it's open, it could be open for anybody is absolutely true. This is a skill we all need.
Yeah.
You know, and I need to touch on it too.
And you teach the basics too. You go from the very beginning of what you have to do. So if somebody wants to get better, give us a couple of tips on what they need to do that the audience can listen to right now.
Okay. In teenagers, if I say, okay, there are a couple of things that are problems with teenagers as far as speaking goes and getting their ideas across. First of all, talking too fast. And the second thing is talking not loud enough. So those are two things that are in the book. It goes through some good pieces there to help a child get through that. The second one is use of other people's writings. And what I use in that book there are, I think, really, really good poetry and good prose that students can read and actually use those as a memorization process, because memorization is a very critical thing. You know, if we look at children, when they're first born, what in the communication they use, the first one's going to be in listening. It's a critical thing, and it's an active thing, listening, to be listeners. When I hear teachers say, the kids are making too much noise, and things of that nature, well, it's the teacher's responsibility to get them to learn how to listen. And when they learn how to listen, then they can memorize. When they memorize, then they can go ahead to the next step, and that is using their own thoughts. And so what the book does is lead the student into all those pieces, one after the other. Now, that book, because it's more of a practicum, I don't get into a lot of philosophy things, because they can find that in better books than mine. The philosophy of the history of why we've lost oratory, why it's called a lost art. So I don't get into so much of that. It's more of a practicum, and that is practical things that the students can do. And the one that comes to mind is where a student is talking too softly. And I run into that quite a bit. So,
yeah. Boy, and you can't hear somebody, and that's the worst. And of course,
yeah.
And then, unfortunately, they get portrayed wrong. They could be super smart, and they could be right for whatever situation, but
sure,
you can't understand them, and then that leads to losses.
Exactly.
That leads to, you know, misses. So I think we've said it throughout this, but for your book, Mastering the Lost Art of Oratory, Robert, and you can get this on Amazon, what do you hope people take away from reading this book?
Well, that's a very good point, because you say, okay, all right, who did I write this for? Well, the audience really is, I mean, there's two of them. Well, one is the education system, which I hope there's some changes. I'm not expecting it, though. And then the other one is parents. You know, parents can say, I want this for my child to be able to speak and speak well. Then they could pick up this book and say, okay, gee, yeah, my child does this well, but there's some other pieces that he misses, or she misses. So maybe it's the oratory, that, you know, the beauty of the speeches. And that's in there, too. And that is where they use the mentoring that I have in there, you know, reading poetry and reading good literature. Not a lot of it, but little pieces. And all the poems that are in there, I think, are very moral, too. So I'm not off in a wild, strange
case. Right. Taking him down on a strange, side alley. We only have a couple minutes left, but for you, favorite? Who's your favorite speaker or favorite speech, or do you have one?
Oh, I really enjoy Frederick Douglass quite a bit, and I enjoy C.S. Lewis.
Mm.
And, Lincoln has some great stuff, too. So, yep. I mean, those are my favorites. And it's interesting, those are ones who are in the ancient field, too.
Yeah.
You know, like C.S. Lewis was brought up in the old style of education. And he was a linguist also.
Yeah.
So, there's so many great, and there's some great ones out there, too. But not so much anymore.
Yeah, you're right. You know, and that's why we do. We go back in history, and especially, you're right, and the three examples you gave are great examples. All right, so here's the thing you can do. Pick up the book, Mastering the Lost Art of Oratory, Robert Babcock. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, you know, it's a real pleasure. Real pleasure. And you keep up your great work, too.
Thank you.
And when you talk about the lost art of listening, it is. It fits in so well with these pieces of communication that we've just lost.
Yeah, it's crazy that people don't listen. So listen up, everybody out there in the radio audience. Thanks so much, Robert. Appreciate it.
Okay, it was a real pleasure.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Excited to go to Australia and introduce you to someone who's quite clever and has a very bright future in front of him and has a bright future right now. Moman Sudi, Somalia Tosu is the name of his book, and the title of it is quite clever, and as clever as I can be, I did not pick it up. He had to tell me about it, and we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the book here in a second. But Moman, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. I appreciate to be part of the guest show in America from Australia, Melbourne.
Yeah, so here you are in Melbourne, and it's interesting. You have great English. But when you moved to Melbourne, you had to learn it all over. You had to learn everything. What was that like coming from Somalia to Australia?
It was a long journey, basically. Yeah, and because we tried to go for survival, basically, and during Somalia war, and we tried to flee over, and then going to Saudi Arabia, and then Dubai to Malaysia, and then Malaysia to here. So it was a long way, and then I had to kind of live with my family and learning the English at the same time before even I got to secondary college or high school or university. So it was tough. So yeah, and I had to learn English class and hiring maybe like a cheapest tutor through the church. So it was, yeah, and I'm still learning. So, yeah, so I'm grateful to learn now.
Well, I think you've really nailed it, I have to say that, because something that we talked about off the air and for the listeners to know is that you nailed it so much that you were doing open mic nights, you were emceeing, all that kind of stuff. And that had to help you, too, with all of the English and getting to know what it's like in Melbourne.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to be hopefully like read to be and basically overcome the stage to share the storyline. Because I used to write a lot of storytelling through the paper in Arabic in Somalia, but I never like shared it on the stage. So in order to do that, I had to go to open mic night, which is just share like test in the stage, like during comedy night, poetry night, or music night with through my friends, and I say, hey, I can introduce your band or something, or your act, and then like maybe before introducing, I can share a little bit more story of the 3 minute, 5 minute piece of poem, and then say, ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for, you know, and then it took me a while, and I had to kind of improve my English skills, how to engage the audience through storytelling. So yeah, so it took a while, but I'm grateful to keep going.
You did it, and then during the pandemic, you wrote this book. So tell us about the book.
So yeah, and I've been writing for over like almost 10 years and performing MC in between. But last year when the pandemic hit, we got stuck on, because I live in a project, which is the high rise. In America, they call it a project. We call it housing high rise, housing commission. And so I've been thinking, I've been writing, and I said, what if I can do like a book, actually. So I had a lot of collection of the piece of poem that I've written and read it in the poetry scene, which is through melbournespokenword.com, which is a community around Melbourne. And so I said, you know what, I can pick some of your piece collection and share it to the online, to the world, and then see how it goes in the future, so I can write maybe more. So yeah, and I wrote some a few pieces. So yeah, and the rest this year and being published. So yeah, so last January, I think. Yeah.
And of all the things that are in the book, Somalia Tosu, what do you like the best? What's your favorite? What's your favorite story?
Well, one of my favorite stories, because the basically Somalia Tosu is about my homeland. So I have to share through my homeland and something would happen around society together around us. So I've written a few pieces, which is about what would happen in Somalia, because it used to be a nation of poet, which is I already spoken about. Because Somalia in back 1970s before that, before luckily they had their own alphabetical language, Somali language, through the British. So they used to recite poets, pieces through tribes into resolving conflict. So I said, like, you know what, I need to read more, write more about the story about Somalia and maybe what happened around society, which is, I wrote one actually about New Zealand, about shooting mosque, you know, what is sad. But I had to write something for myself, which is really sad. And I wrote Somalia and about pandemic, which is recent, is in there. It's called Just Endure It. That's the title. Yeah, and it was emotional, because it was emotional, right? When I'm writing, fixing, editing, that's the process of the reading poetry. You have to go perform, read it, and then go home, get notice, change it, and then, yeah, and gone. But, yeah, so I'll keep writing. So, yeah, and I hope to share in the youth community in the future. So, yeah.
What do people not know about Somalia? Because definitely people form thoughts about what Somalia is, but what is it? And you said it was known for poetry. But what are things that people don't know about Somalia that are positive?
Yeah, and so basically Somalia, they have a positivity, which is supporting communities through nursing, community nursing. And at the moment, because it's all about, because there are more poverty at the moment. So they're all helping as a community nursing and building restaurants, you know, and maybe give education to young kids, like homeschooling to young kids, give them laptops. So in my community, we have a lot of fundraising, which is like giving fundraising to get a lot of more laptops so we can ship it to Somalia. So, yeah, and then maybe like some a few volunteers in Somali community who become a nursing, basically qualified nursing, so they can go there and support as a kind of Doctors Without Borders kind of style. So, yeah. So you just kind of basically supporting, and then they come back and then sharing the experience to the others. So, yeah, and it's not about like a pirate or starving children or black hole down. That's the stereotype. But I'm trying to give them kind of, hopefully like people kind of think somebody's in a positive state. There's some people, they want to share their own stories through struggle, because they flee over through refugee camp to Kenya and others, then go on some survival, you know, basically to go to different countries, you know, and I'm grateful to be in Australia. So, yeah.
What do you hope people take away from reading your book? What do you want them to take out of it?
Hopefully, like, they can take out of it as basically something positive like that, which, like, hopefully at least they have a support for through the communities. They say, hey, we are there for you, with you, you know, we understand you. Like, rather than the media and other stereotype, you know, which is kind of give us a little bit negative. And sometimes I totally understand, like, some media, they give us young youth, they're doing troubles around the communities, but because they're young, you know, and it doesn't mean all of us. It's youngs, they need to learn. So we can guide them at least. So yeah, and hopefully it's going to give them a choice to become a positive person rather than becoming bad or fear, you know, to become, you know, so yeah, and hopefully they can have their own future, which is in a positive way, you know, so if they become engineering, working in hospitality, you know, so yeah.
So yeah. Excellent. So that was the whole idea. I love that. Tell us about the title of the book, because I said that at the beginning. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, so the title of the book basically is called Somalia Too Soon, but I took is an abbreviation of Somalia National Anthem in the past, which is a Somalia Independence Day, which is called, the song is at the start of Somalia Anthem, is called Somalia Toso. That's a song. So it means Somalia going straight to freedom. So yeah, and so I wrote that. So I'm trying to make Too Soon is close for the English speaking. So, but yeah, that's the abbreviation idea. But I could have put it like kind of what it means, but I'd rather just tell you guys in personal, you know. So yeah, so I shared it maybe around the world. So yeah.
You just shared it with us. So, Momi, we want to tell people to look the book up on Amazon. It is spelled Somalia Too Soon, so they know that. And that's where you can find it. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. And you can find it even through Exhibris Publishing. That's where I done it. And through bookstore, basically. So, in Melbourne, I mean, in Strife. So, yeah, if you guys live in Melbourne. Yeah. But I'm grateful to be part of it.
There you go. So, excellent. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, and I'm grateful, and hopefully in the future I can do touring for you guys and can come to America. Hopefully you read some poetry in the future. So yeah, that's my future, ambition. So yeah.
I look forward to that. Thanks.
And I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for being part of it. Yeah, to American people.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.